So John's Gospel, chapter 14, and the verse 17 is our text. We have a number of texts tonight. We're going to go to several places tonight. But we want to start here. We're using this to launch off several verses tonight. Verse 17, even the Spirit of Truth, and that's the Holy Ghost. We've been speaking about Him in the last number of messages. This divine comforter that the Lord Jesus is going to leave us when He goes away, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. And that's my text, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. I want to speak to you tonight about the inability of sinners. Inability is our subject tonight. Whom the world cannot receive. Now, the subject that I want to speak to you tonight is not much preached about. You don't hear about it very much in these days. Though, as we shall see, it is everywhere in the Bible, and it is certainly in the text before us, whom the world cannot receive. That's the Holy Spirit. They cannot receive Him. That means what it says. They cannot. The word expresses inability. If I have a 5-pound bag of potatoes, I might not lift it, but I can lift it if I choose. But if it's a 1-ton box of potatoes, I cannot lift it. I have not the ability. I have not the physical ability. But the inability here of the world is not a physical inability. It is a moral inability. It's a spiritual inability. They can't receive the Spirit. They're not able. In fact, the illustration I used is probably very primitive and simple and not maybe the best. It's more like a ton rock. A ton of potatoes you might desire to lift. It'd be nice to have a ton of potatoes in the house. You might desire to lift a ton of potatoes. But Christ to the sinner is like a ton rock. You don't even want to lift them. It's like a rock that you walk past every day. It's in the bank. A ton rock, you walk past it every day, you see it every day, but you have no desire to lift it. You know you can't lift it, and you've not even the desire to lift it. It's a bit like that. The sinner, not only can he not receive the Spirit, he doesn't want to. He doesn't have the will, he doesn't want to. And so, it's a bit more like that. This is a subject, as I said, that's not often preached about. But whenever you come to a series and it's there before you, you have to look at it. And that's what we're doing tonight. So here we're brought face to face with the inability of the worldling, of the sinner. The inability of the world of sinners. And one of the reasons why it's not often preached upon is not that it's rarely in Scripture, because it's abundantly in Scripture, but the reason why it's not preached upon is it's not popular. The sinner doesn't want to hear this. The sinner doesn't want to hear what he can't do. It's not acceptable theology. It's not acceptable to be told that you're dead in sin, that you're in bondage, that you're a slave, that your will's only inclined to sin, that your sin, your will doesn't want God. That's not popular. It's not popular to tell the sinner he's shackled, that he's in the house, the prison house, and he has a sinful heart, and that he's just really a slave. You're just a slave to sin and to Satan. And you can't get out
That's not popular. Sinner doesn't like to hear that.
And with others, who should know better, but with others it's an unpopular because it seems contrary to the gospel invitation. We are to call men to believe. We are to call men to repent and to come to Christ. We are to call men to not resist the Spirit, but receive the Spirit. We are to call men to do that. And to call them to receive the Lord and receive the Spirit and to receive the truth. We're to call men to do that. But there are some who want us to go further. And they want us to tell the sinner, you can believe. And you're able to believe. And you have the ability to repent and believe. And these people tell us that you can't tell the sinner of his inability. You mustn't do that. That'll discourage him. That's not right. And somehow it seems all contradictory that you can call men to repent and to believe and yet to tell them you can't do it. Well, it's in the Bible. It's true. Both are true. Both are true. There are those who assert the call to believe and receive implies ability. It does no such thing. The fact that you call men to believe and repent, and you must call men to believe and repent, but that does not imply they have ability. It doesn't, and they don't. Both are true. They're to be called, yet they're unable to come unless the Spirit of God works in them. I call a man who's in a burning house to flee. The house is burning. I know there's someone in the house. I know there's a man in the house in danger. I know there's a man in the house who's about to be burned up. I have to call him. I call him to flee. I'll say to the man, there's a fire in your house. You have to get out. You have to flee. But that doesn't mean he can flee. That doesn't mean he has the ability to flee. Just because I call him. He could have been overcome by smoke. There could be debris all over the place. There could be fire outside the door and he can't get out. Just that I call him, and I must call him, and he must get out. Yet he mightn't be able to get out. Being called to flee doesn't mean the ability to flee. The two things are different. And both these things are taught in the Bible. We're to call the sinner to flee, and yet we know he can't. He's been overcome with the smoke. He's been overcome with the devil's smoke. He's dead. He's unconscious. He's blind in the smoke and in the dark. He can't see his way in the flames and in the fumes. He's disorientated by the devil's drugs. His mind is deranged through the satanic influence. He's powerless. I call him. I call him. But he's powerless to come. That's what the Bible teaches. Whom the world cannot receive is what our Lord Jesus Christ says. The fact is that the Lord Jesus told men of their inability, as we'll see tonight. He told them. It's part of the truth. And men need to know the truth. And they need to know the truth. And you can't be set free until you know the truth. It's just not that they have a few stains on their soul. They're depraved. They're enslaved. They're imprisoned. They're dead in sin. And they have to know that. And so I want to show you the things a sinner cannot do. The things a sinner cannot do. And the fact that he cannot do them shows that he needs an omnipotent Savior, that he needs mercy and grace, that he needs an intervention in his life, that he needs the Lord to come along and encounter him. He needs one who will break his slavery and his bondage and bring mighty power into his life. That's what the sinner needs. And you don't set people free
of their chains by telling them you don't have chains. That's stupid. You don't set the sinner free by telling them he doesn't have chains, that they're imaginary. You don't tell a sinner you can come anytime. The sinner will say to himself, not yet. Look, you see. That's what the devil says. Look, you see, you've no bondage. You can go anytime you want. You're free. The sinner's not free. And he's in danger. And the sinner needs to know this. He needs to know it. And they do wrong who do not tell the sinner his bondage and his need. They do wrong. And an Arminian gospel is a false gospel. It is. And so I want to show you some texts that set forth the truth of inability and what the sinner cannot do. And the first one is before us in verse 17. The sinner cannot receive the Spirit of truth. Jesus says that. Whom the world cannot receive. And we're not, he doesn't only tell us why, or doesn't only tell us that he can't receive the Spirit of truth. He tells us why he cannot. He tells us why he cannot. Whom the world cannot receive, because it doesn't see him, and it doesn't know him. And they can't receive someone you can't see. And they can't receive someone that they don't know. They don't know him, and they don't see him. And they don't want him. And they know nothing about him. And they can't receive him. So this is not physical sight, because none of us can see the Spirit of the Lord. We're not talking about physical sight here. We're talking about a spiritual sight. Sinners just cannot see the Spirit. He's not real to them. He's a stranger to them. He's utterly unknown to them. He's a figment. Or a force. Or imaginary. They just can't receive him. They have no relationship with him. No intimacy. They're not acquainted with his work and with his influences. And therefore they can't receive him. And they can't receive his word. Because by saying they can't receive him, the Lord Jesus is talking about him as the Spirit of truth. They don't receive his word. They have no interest in his word. None whatsoever. So they don't want his guidance. They resist his word. They resist his truth. They resist his guidance. And they cast it from them. They don't receive it. And they don't receive him. The Apostle Jude, he talks about those who separate themselves. And by that he means separate themselves from the truth and from the proclamation of the gospel and from the word of God. They separate themselves, and he gives a reason why they separate themselves. They're sensual, having not the Spirit of God. They're just natural. They just live with the flesh, and they just live by the senses of the body. They're sensual. And they have no spiritual life. They don't have the Spirit of God. They can't receive him. They can only resist him. And so they don't come to the preaching. And they certainly don't come to preaching where the Word of God is truly preached and where their hearts might be searched by the truth. The world can't receive him. It just couldn't bear to receive him. You see, the Arminians say to all and sundry, you can receive the Spirit. You see, you can see him and you can receive him, but it's false. The world cannot receive him. This is the truth as Jesus states it. The second text is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We read that chapter for this reason. It fitted in with some things we said this morning as well. In fact, we quoted from this chapter this morning. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and the verse 14, we're told here, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now, the Lord Jesus already told us he can't receive
the Spirit. He can't receive the things of the Spirit. But now the Apostle Paul is just repeating that. He's just saying the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. But then he gives us a reason for that. For they are foolishness unto him. And then he says, neither can he know them. So here's something else. He cannot know the things of the Spirit of God. He can't know them. He cannot know them. They're just folly to him. They're foolishness to him. The natural man, that's the man who's just the ordinary son and daughter of Adam. All of us really by nature. And we know what this was like before the Spirit of God did move on us and take away our blindness. The sinner doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. He doesn't receive the Word. He doesn't receive the promises. He doesn't receive the guidance. All the things that the Spirit of the Lord has to show us in the Word, the natural man doesn't receive them because they're foolishness unto them. And he cannot know them. There's another cannot. There's another indication of inability. He can't know them. Now, there are many who say you can. You just have to, just use your natural reason and give it a wee bit of thought. But the word of the Lord says he cannot know them. They have to be spiritually discerned. You need a spiritual discernment, a spiritual eye to know them. And the natural man hasn't got that. He cannot know. He can't know them. He can't understand. And that's the second thing. He can't receive the Spirit. And he cannot understand really spiritual things. They're foolishness to him. He's not the understanding. Nothing of the Word makes sense to his soul. He just can't comprehend. He can't see. He hasn't got the eyes. And you, people who are praying for your loved ones, you see that, don't you? It's all clear as day to you, the things of God, but you witness to the sinner, and they just look at you. They just cannot understand. In fact, they think it's foolishness. You're deranged. What kind of stuff do you believe? That's nonsense. That's contrary to the philosophy of this Western world. That's contrary to the philosophy of the professors. That's contrary to what all the evolutionists who know everything about the age of this planet and its origin, that's so contrary to what all of them know and tell us. And this is just foolishness. And I can't know this stuff, and I don't want to know this stuff. It's nonsense. He cannot know them. This is why. And that's why sinners come once or twice, maybe to a gospel preaching service, and they don't come back. It's foolishness to them. The things of the Spirit are foreign to them. The ungodly cannot endure sound preaching. The best preservation of a spiritual church is the preaching of the pure Word of God. Because sinners think it's foolishness. And they don't want it. So the sinner cannot understand. He cannot know them. And then the sinner cannot see. And John's Gospel is the next text in chapter 3. John chapter 3. And the verses 3 and 5, where Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see." Here's another cannot. Inability. He cannot see the kingdom of God. And then if you can't see it, you can't experience it. If you can't see it, you can't enter into it. And so in verse 5, the Lord Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So seeing it is apprehending it and understanding it, and then when you see it, you enter into it, you experience it. The sinner can't see it. He can't see the Christian life. He can't see the Christian kingdom. And he certainly can't experience it. He can't experience the powers of the world to come in his soul. He can't experience what the citizens of the kingdom experience in their heart. He's not born again. He doesn't understand. He cannot see. He can't. The kingdom of God here is not heaven. That's his final consummation, heaven. But you're in the kingdom a long time before you go to heaven. And you experience the kingdom a long time before you go to heaven. In fact, you can't leave it till you die and think you'll just go to heaven. You have to experience the kingdom before you go to heaven. You have to be born again before you die. You have to experience the powers of the world to come in your heart before death. You must be born again, Jesus said. You can't see. You can't enter. You know nothing about King Jesus reigning in your heart. You know nothing about subjection to the laws of the kingdom. You know nothing about experiencing the power of the kingdom and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know nothing about it. You can't see. You can't enter unless you're born again of the Spirit. The inability of the sinner. The inability to experience the things of God in the heart. The inability to have kingdom desires and kingdom inclinations. The sinner hasn't got it. There's this inability. And the new birth is needed to bring the sinner into the experience of grace in the heart and submission to the King. It doesn't matter how much light you bring to the sinner. He can't see. A man might have 100-watt bulb. He might have 1,000-watt bulb. You could even give him possibly, if the thing can be invented, a 10,000-watt bulb. But it doesn't matter to the blind man. Whatever the wattage of the bulb is, it doesn't matter. He cannot see. Now, some saints, they have only a 1-watt bulb. Their Christian experience is very faint and dull. But they can see. They can see. They might only have 1-watt bulb. They might just be simple. Simple believers. Simple, sincere believers. But they haven't been grounded in the truth. Not deepened in the things of God. The way maybe other believers have. They have a 100-watt bulb. But I tell you this, whether it's a 1-watt bulb or a 100-watt bulb, they're believers and they see. They see. Now, they can see more clearly than others. You see more clearly with a 100-watt bulb than you would with a 1-watt bulb. But you need eyes to see. The worldling doesn't. He doesn't see. And he certainly doesn't experience them here in the heart. So that's what the Lord Jesus says. He cannot. Not only can he not see, he can't hear. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 43. Speaking to the Jews, the Lord Jesus says, "Why do you not understand my speech?" That's a good question. You could ask the Arminian that question. Well, why does the sinner not understand the speech of the Lord? Why do you not understand? The Lord Jesus gives an answer. He answers the question that he asks. Because he knows they can't answer it right, so he answers it for them. Because, even because, you cannot hear my word. You can't hear my word. Now, the Lord Jesus isn't talking about the molecules vibrating in the air and the words actually going in through their ears. They hear that, all right. They've got physical ears. They can hear what he's saying. But that's not what the Lord Jesus means. He's talking spiritually. He says, you cannot hear. And you don't understand. I speak the word, but you can't hear it. You don't understand. And so, God's word is loud. God's word is loud. And the law and the gospel, the trumpet together, and how the thunders of his wrath goes out like many waters. It's loud enough. The warnings of God are loud enough. Oh, it's loud, the trumpet. The trumpet blast is loud. And how the love of Calvary sweetly sounds. It's like an orchestra. The love of Calvary, when it's preached and proclaimed, it sweetly sounds like an orchestra. It's music. It's music to the ears. But the sinner, not music to the sinner's ears. He can't hear right. It's like a dog whistle. There's a dog whistle and you blow it. But we can't hear because we're not tuned to the right pitch. Blow it all day long, you never hear a thing. Just the one whose ears tuned to the right pitch hears it, the dog. The sinners, they can't hear. Remember how the Lord said in Jeremiah's times, he says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hear. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach unto them." They've no delight in it. They're uncircumcised in their ear. They've got a big covering over their ear. They can't hear it, right? It's like scraping. It's like the chalk going down the blackboard. It's an awful sound. They don't like it. It grinds on them. They can't bear it. They can't hear it. And that's why sinners don't come in under the gospel. They can't bear it. They can't hear it. They don't want it. It grinds on them. Like chalk. You remember when you're chalk? The teacher would use a chalk and it was... And it just got on your nerves. And that's what the gospel does to sinners. Although it's like an orchestra. Sweet, beautiful music of Calvary and the cross. But they can't hear it. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. The apostle said, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. Do you remember how it says that whenever they heard this, they left Jesus. And they left Jesus and they said this. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? We can't hear this, eating my flesh and drinking my blood. We can't hear that. That's nonsense. We don't want to hear that. We can't hear that. We can't hear it. They have this inability. Oh, they hear the noise and the words, but it just grinds on their hearts like an awful sound. That's a sinner. That's what he thinks of the cross of Jesus Christ and of the blood of the Lamb and of the things of the Spirit. He can't bear to hear them. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish. Foolishness. It's an awful sound. He can't hear. And you notice Jesus says these things. I'm not making this subject up tonight. This subject of inability isn't something that just popped up out of my mind. I just looked at that word cannot and saw how often Jesus Christ used it. You cannot. You can't even come to Christ. Oh, we're called sinners to come. We're to tell them to come. But he can't not flex a spiritual muscle of faith and true faith in Jesus Christ. John chapter 6, verse 44 is our next text. No man can come to me. Now there is an exception. Except the Father which hath sent me draw him. But we're not dealing with the drawing power of the Father. We're emphasizing the inability of man unless there is an external power working on him and in him. No man can come to me. He cannot come to me. He hasn't the desire. He hasn't the inclination. He hasn't the willingness. And again in the same chapter, in verse 65, he said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." And there's no exception in this inability in man. Because the Lord Jesus says, no man. Every man has this inability, except that we're given to him of the Father, and except my Father draw him and overcomes that inability. Every man has this inability. And the only thing that overcomes it is sovereign grace. Remember how John the Baptist said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And it says in John chapter 12, they could not believe. They could not believe. They hadn't the ability to believe. They could not believe. This is what the Bible teaches. The sinner cannot come at any time. In fact, he can't come at all unless there is the Holy Spirit working in his life and in his heart. That's what the Bible teaches. The sinner cannot put himself under the divine authority. Romans chapter 8, this is the last text. Romans chapter 8 and the verse 7. The carnal mind, this is the natural man's mind again that the apostle is speaking about. The carnal mind, the man who just minds natural things, worldly things. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. And that's true. Sinners aren't subject to the law of God. But then the Apostle Paul adds something that's very interesting. He says they're not subject to the law of God. And then he says this, neither indeed can they be. They don't want to be under it. They don't want to submit to the word. They don't want to submit to the law of God, and they can't. They don't have the desire. They don't have the... This is a carnal mind. He can't even flex a spiritual muscle in coming to Christ. And he can't even exercise a spiritual thought. His mind is utterly carnal, utterly at enmity against God and against divine authority. And he doesn't want God in his life. He wants the liberty of sin. Or the bondage of sin as it really is, but it's liberty in his mind. He cannot be subject to God. He cannot submit. And that's true, isn't it, brethren and sisters? We see it all around us. We see a world that has no ability to submit to the law of God. The inability of the sinner. Now these are just a few texts. I'll not give you any more. These are just a few texts to show that the sinner cannot get saved when he likes. And he can't come when he likes. He thinks he can, but he will never like to come. And I have to say to you sinners, if there are any here present tonight, that you can't fool around with your soul. Think you can come when you like. Think it's in your power. Oh, I'll decide on my deathbed. Oh, I'll give it a few more months' thought yet. Ah, oh, there's something to be thought about, something to be considered. I'll give it some consideration, but not now. I'll just leave it. There's plenty of time and I can exercise my will as I please. That's foolish talk. And what I'm doing tonight is throwing hand grenades into the midst of that kind of thinking. Now, some people say you can't use hand grenades in gospel preaching. But I throw them in tonight. Because the Lord Jesus used them. He used them. And I reckon the gospel preacher can use them too. I don't care what the Arminian says. And I throw the hand grenades tonight of the sin and to blow up the idea of the sinner's ability. To blow up your self-confidence. To blast it away. To leave, to completely blow to smithereens this whole business of being saved whenever you like and leaving it to later. These texts would blow any wall that you would hide behind. You are a helpless sinner. A helpless sinner. And you need to flee to Jesus Christ. And you need to cry out. You need to cry out for mercy.
You need to cry out to the Savior, "Oh Lord, passing by, don't pass me by. Come into my prison house of sin and deliver me and break the chains and give me your Holy Spirit through grace." That's what you need to do, sinner. You need to realize your helplessness, your need, and you need the mercy of God and grace in your life, and you must not rest till you find it. You need to beg the Savior, "Lord, that I might see, that I might hear, that I might live, that I might be born again. Save me, Savior, or I die."
And if you are a Christian, I just throw in the hand grenades as well, to blow away all pride that is remaining in you. All boasting, just to blow it all away, and to think that there was something you did for your conversion and something you did for your salvation, just to blow it all away. And I throw these hand grenades in tonight to remind you of your ability in times past, that it would blow away your ingratitude. Your ingratitude to the grace of God in your life. That it would blow away all the hardness. And that it would melt us again to appreciate grace and the divine intervention in our own lives. Child of God, you're so blessed. You're so blessed. Grace has opened your eyes and you can see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see. I just throw these hand grenades in to remind you again of that. Grace. Grace has opened your eyes. Grace has opened your ears. Grace has brought you into the kingdom. That's all it was. It was grace. The grace of Jesus. And as Christians, we have the will now. We still lack the power. It is true. But we have the will. The will to be like Christ. The will to be with Christ. The will to hear Christ. The will to love Christ. The will to follow. We have the will now. The ability. But we don't have the power. Because even to us Christians, the Lord Jesus still comes along and he says, "Without me, you can do nothing." And it's still true. Let us pray.